Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. Like to hear from you. N-I-C-K-L-A-S at firstamendmentradio.com. Let me know you're listening. And anything else you'd like to say. Okay, we're in Genesis chapter 38, around verse 13. We're talking about the law. We see the law being demonstrated before Moses wrote it. We've seen it demonstrated from the beginning. You know, from the very beginning of the book of Genesis. We see the law being demonstrated before it was supposedly given or written. Okay, so obviously the law was from the beginning. Otherwise, why would it be demonstrated? Otherwise, why would these men have been held to the standard which became the law? How can I come to any other conclusion? How could any of us come to any other conclusion other than the law was from the beginning? So we have here, now, Judah is withholding the son. He's not upholding the law. First, we see that the second son, the first son was evil, and Yahuwah slew him. The second son is told by his father to follow the law, to go into his brother's wife and take her to wife and to raise up seed to his brother. And he's disobedient, what, to his father. So is it his father's law? Well, obviously not, because now we're getting to the part of the story where Judah is disobedient, the father who says, I'm not going to send my third son in because I've already had two die to this woman. So he's withholding. So that's where we pick up the narrative here. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shears in Timnah, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, Behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnah to shear the sheep. And she put on her widow's garment. And she put her widow's garment off from her. And so she had a garment that signified that she was a widow, and covered her head with a veil, and wrapped herself and sat in an open place. And she's basically going to seduce her father-in-law on the way which is up to Timnah, for she saw that Shelah, the son that Judah had promised, saying, When he comes of age, I will send him into you to be your husband, to take the place of your brother, because that's what the law required. While in his heart he's saying, Man, you know, I've already lost two sons, I don't want to do this thing. So he's being disobedient to the law. So she says, She sat in an open place, which was by the way to Timnath, for she saw that Shelah, his third son, was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned into her by the way, and said, Go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, What will you give me, that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send a kid from thee, from the flock. And she said, Wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? And he said, What pledge shall I give thee? And she said, Thy signet, and thy bracelets, and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it to her, and he came into her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went her way, and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. So she went back, and she put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. So he's going to pay her and get his stuff back, basically. But he didn't find her. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, Where's the harlot that was openly by the way? And they said, There is no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, Let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. And then it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, Bring her forth, and let her be burnt. Oh, shame on Judah, huh? Well, when she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, "By the man whose these are, I am with child." And she said, "Discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet and bracelets and staff?" And Judah acknowledged them and said, "She hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not Shelah, my son." And she knew her again, and he knew her again no more. So what does Judah say? She's more righteous than I am. I didn't keep my word, and I didn't keep the law of the Heavenly Father. I was disobedient. So we see that at least Judah was a righteous enough man to repent of his wrongdoing. He acted out of fear rather than faith. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, "This came out first." And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, "How hast thou broken forth this breach upon be upon thee?" And therefore his name was called Pharez. And afterward word came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. So now we're going to switch scenes. We learned a little bit about the law, how the law was in place, because we see the embodiment of the trials and the things that these men have gone through, that Judah went through with his family here. We see these things that are written in the law later by Moses. They are codified, written down in the law by him. So now we're going to switch scenes, much as you would from in a movie, how they switch from one character in one scene to another character in another scene. We're going to switch over to Joseph now in chapter 29 and verse 1. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And Yahuwah was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Yes, the Lord was with Joseph. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and Yahuwah made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, over all that he had, that Yahuwah, the Lord, blessed him and blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly man and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." So she started to look upon Joseph and started to lust after him. But he refused, and he said to his master's wife, "Behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house." This is, you know what? Your master has left everything with me, so that he doesn't even know what his riches are anymore. And he's committed all that he has to my hand. And there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So we see again being demonstrated here in the narrative that the law is in place, that adultery is a sin, and that he can have everything. His master's given him freely everything, but he hasn't given him his wife. And beside that, he says, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her. So she doesn't give up. She continues. She really wants Joseph bad. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment. So she grabs him, and she says, "Lie with me." And he fled. He saw that there was no one around. So he fled, and she had his garment. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. He ran from sin. So it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spoke unto them, saying, See, he hath brought a Hebrew into mock us. He came in to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. So she screamed. She's holding the garment. And she makes up this story that Joseph came into her and wanted to lie with her, but he fled when she screamed. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled, and he got him out. And she said, she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spoke unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought into us, came into me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spoke unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. And yeah, what a system of justice. One witness, no defense, nothing. And the man just believed his wife, even though he trusted Joseph with everything. I don't see any questioning. I don't see any trial. I see no justice being practiced here at all. So we assume that, yeah, you know, Potiphar, ungodly man, treated Joseph well as long as things were prospering and left everything in Joseph's hand. But one accusation by his wife, and off to prison he goes. What a system of justice. Okay. But Yahuwah, the Lord, was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. So Joseph, you know, is being prospered wherever he goes. And people realize this, that whatever this man touches, it prospers. And he ends up in charge. In Potiphar's house, he makes Potiphar rich so that Potiphar doesn't even know what he has anymore. He's so rich, he leaves it all in Joseph's hands. Throw him into prison, and he gets, you know, he becomes in charge of the prison. So whatever he did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because Yahuwah, the Lord, was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. So, I mean, any offense. I mean, look at this system of justice. You look at someone the wrong way, you make a mistake, you know, perhaps the baker and the butler, you know, perhaps the baker used the wrong seasoning or didn't quite make it the way that, you know, something wrong with the food, and the butler served it, you know. And the king of Egypt got mad and threw him in prison for that. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. He asked Pharaoh's officers that were there in the ward of the house, saying, Why do you look so sad today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. In the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup to Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, well, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former matter, when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. So Joseph's thinking ahead. Might be able to get out of prison. And you know who orchestrated this whole thing. I mean, after all, who was the Lord, Yahuwah, was with Joseph. These dreams were not an accident. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also I have done nothing that I should be put into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets upon my head. And he's thinking he's going to get a good interpretation too. He likes this. Man, perhaps I'm going to be restored. So he continues in his dream. He says, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is an interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on the tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Oh, man. That's not what the baker wanted to hear. Boy, I mean, he must have really offended the Pharaoh. Perhaps there was an investigation or something. I don't know, but Pharaoh decided to put this guy to death and restore the other one. So, and it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted them. Yet did not the chief butler remember. That means he forgot Joseph. And that's just par for the course. Yet he did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. Now, I don't know what a kine is. Let's see. That's got to be some kind of animal. A heifer, a cow. So, and they were fat flesh, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean flesh, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So we got 7 fat cows coming up out of the river, and then we got 7 skinny cows, sickly, deathly cows coming up and eating the fat cows. What a dream, huh? So Pharaoh woke, and he slept and dreamed a 2nd time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 full ears. And Pharaoh woke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in his morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent, and he called for all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spoke the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in a ward in the prison, and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream one night, I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was a young man, a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted us our dreams. To each man, according to his dream, did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted, it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. So finally, we see that the butler remembers Joseph because of the dream. So what happens now? Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself, and he changed his clothes, and he came unto Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And we're running out of time, so I don't have enough time to finish this story because it goes quite into depth. So we're going to pick up here next time. Remember, visit my website, Cross the Border, or you can catch up on these Bible studies there. And email me. I would like to hear from you. Sometimes I get the feeling that nobody's listening to these programs. There is nothing more important in this life than that you cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, and that you obtain eternal life, and that you endure to the end. Remember what the scripture says, he who endures to the end shall be saved.